our problem or someone else's? Hedges discusses this question as it involves issues of ethics and conscience. At 10, hear Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, stay tuned for Flashpoint's investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, on Stage and Studio, host DeMay Roberts takes a tour of the new location of Shaking the Tree Theater with artistic director Samantha Vandermeerva. We learn about their new production of Suddenly Last Summer, a 90-minute one-act play by Tennessee Williams. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a KBOO member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
Tomorrow, the Portland Planning and Sustainability Commission will hold its second public hearing on the proposed Pembina propane export terminal at the Port of Portland's Terminal 6 across from Hayden Island in North Portland. The hearing was added after the first public hearing in January drew an overflowing audience and many didn't get a chance to speak. Originally scheduled for March 17th, it was postponed until tomorrow due to the Pembina Corporation's delay in producing many details of the proposed facility to the city, especially regarding safety. The Canadian Pipeline and Fossil Fuel Company presented the additional information to the commission at the March 17th meeting. If approved, the Pembina terminal would mark Portland's entry into the fossil fuel export market. The propane, which is a byproduct of oil fracking in Canada, would be transferred to Portland by rail, stored at Terminal 6, and then sent to Asia by ship. A coalition of Portland organizations is opposed to the project, concerned about the number of trains taking up space on already crowded rail lines, the danger of the highly flammable propane exploding in case of train derailment or accident at the storage facility, and the relatively small number of jobs created as compared to other types of industry that could be located at the site. The hearing is open to the public and will take place from 3 to 8 tomorrow afternoon at 1900 Southwest 4th Avenue, Suite 2500 in downtown Portland. Those who wish to testify are encouraged to arrive early. There will be a rally outside the building starting at 2:15. Earlier today, KBOO's Paul Rowland spoke with Mike Stanton, president of the International Longshore and Warehouse Union Local 8, which has come out in opposition to the project.
I'm speaking with Mike Stanton of the ILWU Local 8, and we were talking about the issue of rail traffic, which is one of the issues involved in your union local's opposition to this propane terminal project, in addition to safety and other issues. So you were talking about the preferential use by energy trains, gas, oil, and coal that are interfering with other traffic that are going to the ports.
Yes, that's correct. The rail capacity is limited. There's already a huge amount of congestion on there for the longstanding cargoes that we have. Like grain and containers, logs, automobiles, scrap metal, steel slabs, ag products, and potash and soda ash, and those guys are all of those companies that transport those are already competing for that rail space. So, with a propane terminal coming in here that's looking at 3 to 6 100-unit trains a week coming in, that would put a huge squeeze on the amount of rail traffic that's already fighting to use that area.
But of course, since you say it's more profitable to the railroad companies, and obviously it's profitable for whoever's going to be running an export terminal there, isn't that the way the economic system works, that whatever is most profitable gets a preference?
The railroads do make a higher premium on those energy trains, and they do take a priority now. But for the amount of jobs that are created, or adversely, the amount of jobs that are displaced because of that, I don't think that's the best use of that area for the Port of Portland or for the local area. I think that maintaining products that employ larger amounts of people are better for the local economy.
So you find common ground then with the environmental groups that are opposing it on other grounds in terms of effect on climate, the potential for ecological disasters if there's an explosion, the issue of, you know, the extraction from where the gas comes from. Are those issues that your union also takes into consideration?
They are. We all live here, you know, and we all have families that work and live in the area. And we, for the most part, I'd say, we like renewable resources. We like resources that we like business that create jobs and is renewable. It's going to be something that's longstanding. We're not going to take a commodity and hopefully not do any damage to our city and our local area, but we also want a commodity that can be there for lots of years, not just a short-term, you know, use it till it's gone, and then have a facility that possibly sits idle and doesn't create any jobs after that.
You know, is that a discussion that's happening? I mean, I don't really have much contact, you know, with the, you know, union activists. Is that a debate within unionists in terms of, you know, because the impression I get is that where there's, you know, a pipeline to be built, you know, there's pipe fitters, there's metal workers, there's, you know, a lot of unions get on board real quick. So, I mean, is that a discussion that's going on, a more broad discussion about exactly the kind of longer term sustainability issues that you're bringing up?
You know, I can't speak for other unions, and I know that when you have large capital projects, I think it's great to see people put to work and making a good living wage and able to support their family. But I don't think that anybody, you know, a union or non-union, and hopefully the port and even these companies that are tenants of the port want to see something that's going to be good for the economy years and years down the road. You know, I don't think anybody wants to see something that's just short term or that creates an environmental problem down the road that everybody's going to have to deal with when they're not working.
You know, I think these are really important discussions because, I mean, it does seem like the economic system, the way it's set up, is exactly set up for the kind of short-term economic gain at the expense of longer-term social and ecological values. And it seems that's a really difficult question to bring up when you have immediate need for putting people to work. It seems like something that we tend not to really grapple with openly.
Yeah, you know, and that has that question has come up in discussion groups with not just union, but with groups that are concerned about the same things we're concerned about. And in this case, with the Pemina Project, we've met with other groups that are speaking for other reasons. But as citizens of Portland and people that have lived here for our whole lives and have families here and have things besides their jobs, you know, whether it's recreation or fishing or, you know, flying kites on the beach. We want to be able to do all that. So I think that by keeping all those groups talking to each other a little bit, you know, you don't always agree on everything, but if you can come to what's best for, hopefully for the whole, not everybody's going to be happy all the time, but to do things that are positive and look down the road and, you know, hopefully keeps jobs and is sustainable. Those are good things. I mean, those type of industries can go on for generations.
So are you familiar? I know in Olympia, Washington, I think a couple weekends ago, there's a railway workers and environmentalists coming together conference. It was the week after a similar one in Richmond, California. Apparently there's railway workers that are coming out, but you know, there's these oil trains that are exploding and killing people and putting workers and local residents where the trains are passing through at risk. And I think the same thing would apply for these propane trains. Are you familiar that there's railway workers also coming out and discussing the risks of these projects?
Not firsthand. I do know that group got together in Tacoma, and I haven't heard anything back on what they discussed. But obviously, if I was riding on a train that had the potential to do what they've done and explode as they have, I would have some huge concerns. You know, there's a lot of dangerous jobs out there, and we make those choices to do those jobs, and hopefully it's for making things better. But you want to be able to have those safety factors as high as possible, whether it's for the people doing the job or the people around it, anybody that's going to come in contact with. With this Pembina project specifically, you know, there's concerns about all of the other industries that people are working at, you know, whether it's the guys that work with me, the longshoremen, that are on the terminal next to it. You know, the potential blast zone for this is huge if there was a catastrophic accident. So Pembina's hasn't answered all the questions I think they need to answer on their safety, or it hasn't become public. I think for that reason, for that being another reason why there's concern.
So you're going to be at the Planning and Sustainability Commission hearing, which is an extension of a hearing that was held last month, which drew quite a number of people, and that's the reason they're having this. You're going to speak there. Just give us an idea what you're going to say tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yes. That's downtown. They're going to have that sustainability hearing again, continuation, yes. And if I get the opportunity to speak at this time, I think that we will be addressing the crowd prior to the meeting. And then during the meeting, if I'm given the opportunity to speak, it will be along the same lines as what we covered. There's going to be multiple speakers from both sides, in opposition and in favor of, and that's what they're there to hear. And so from Local 8's and my position, we are going to focus mainly on the rail congestion and how that will affect the other businesses and the other port tenants that are out there. And there's other groups that are going to be down there to try and touch base on some of the other impacts or potential impacts that the Pembina project could have on that area and our people.
So I guess the last thing, it just makes me think in talking to you, you know, the fact that there's different groups of workers sort of sometimes pitted unintentionally against each other in some ways. And so it seems sometimes difficult to come to common ground. Do you see some potential? You know, I mentioned the railway workers. Is that something that your union might want to pursue, to reach out and talk to the railway workers, since these you seem to have some common concerns about projects that that touch both of your areas?
Yeah, we do. We do have a representative from the ILWU that is in contact with that rail worker group and attends functions that they have and talks to them on a regular basis. You know, like you said, certain things happen that brings those groups together. And there's been other situations in the past where the rail workers and the ILWU have been in the same area where there's been some discrepancy as to how we're going to get along. So we've worked with them on things before with that.
Okay, well, would you encourage people listening to this to come out and there's going to be a rally beforehand and a hearing? You obviously feel this is important to you and your union. Do you feel it's important to everybody in Portland?
I do. I think that was what was brought out in the first hearing, and they had a continuation. Pembina came back last month to have another hearing, which was originally going to be the final hearing, and I think it was to give out some more information and state their case again. And now it's time for the city to evaluate it further, but it's also time for people to find out as much as they can about it and what's happening in their community and how it's going to affect them, you know, whether it's on the river or at their job or where they live, or whether it's a pollution issue or anything else. I think that the more people that know all of the information, the better we are at steering this city where it needs to go.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Stanton. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
Portland school board elections are May 19th. What's your question?
My name is Michael Mayo. I serve as the elected secretary of the Eastside Democratic Club. Have you thought through the policy of whittling away the autonomy and the initiative of the teacher of your children?
Tune in to KBOO April 27th through 30th at 5:45 for special school board election coverage.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Holla! Welcome to the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, for the working class, here on KBOO 97 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. My name is Tina Turner Morfitt. I am a member of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees and the current president of the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. And as usual, tonight I'm joined by my sister.
I'm Dr. Audrey Terrell. I'm a retired from the staff of the International UAW Women's Department and the current vice president of the Coalition of